grace, mercy, and peace are yours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Amen. Listen again to that epistle lesson for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." So where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. These are God's words. In Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. Retro is big these days. Have you ever noticed that? You know what I mean by that? Bringing back what was old and making it new again. Whether it's in clothing styles or maybe interior decor, architecture, all kinds of different things that used to be popular long ago, now suddenly bring them back and make it all new again. It's like reliving your past. Retro is one thing. Repulsive is another. There's maybe a reason why people don't bring back retro, a guillotine, an electric chair, a hangman's noose, and yet people wear crosses around their necks. They have them in their homes, maybe even in their pocket, special, specific buildings dedicated and adorned with crosses outside and inside, which to the average person, the people of the outside world, doesn't make any sense. Why in all the world would you glorify something so horrible, terrifying, traumatic, like a cross? Especially the cross of Christ. And especially the cross in your preaching? That's a bunch of foolishness, this world would say. But for you and me, it is, as Paul points out, the wisdom of God and the power of God. So for us, and really for all, Christ's cross and him crucified is really something to brag about. The world does not think so. But godly wisdom, God-given wisdom, is absolutely sure of that. There's a stunning, pronounced, and profound contrast that the Apostle Paul makes in the very first verse of this section. He says, "For the message of the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now, you and I really can't appreciate that unless we go retro and think of what it was like in Paul's time. When people were crucified regularly by the Roman Empire, it was a most shameful, horrendous, horrifying, terrifying kind of execution, reserved only for slaves and foreigners and the Son of God. Think about that. slaves, foreigners, and the Son of God were all crucified. But not a Roman citizen. In fact, it was against the law to execute a Roman citizen by crucifixion. In fact, Cicero, a Roman orator, said in this, and this, he would have lived about a generation before Jesus. He says, the cross should not even be seen or heard or thought about by Roman citizens. That's how avoiding people were of anything that had to do with the cross. What's even worse, they considered broadcasting, proclaiming, boasting about it as being ridiculous. Moronic is really the original Greek word there. Foolishness, Paul says. Somebody getting up in a pulpit like this and preaching about somebody who was hung on a cross because he was a criminal? How ridiculous. How foolish, they said. Not only foolish, but to have somebody that was crucified that you claim to be a savior? What do I need a savior for? I don't need that. I'm doing just fine by myself, right? I don't need anybody to rescue me. If I need rescuing, I'll figure something out. And for somebody to die a criminal's death on a wretched cross, what a way to go. That's repugnant, ridiculous, revolting, right? If there's any value for me, it's whatever he did, I don't want to do it myself, so I just make sure I never have to go through that. But then to actually depend on somebody? Somebody else? I'm doing just fine, thank you very much, goodbye. You ever have anybody say that to you? About Jesus Christ, the crucified one? His sufferings and death upon the cross being your way of salvation? Does that make any sense, humanly speaking? No. No, just the opposite. Boast and brag about yourself, your own accomplishments, right? That's the reason for the end zone dance at the, at the end of the game, or maybe when somebody's caught a pass and they get a touchdown. It's the reason why people oftentimes will admire the He-Man muscle pose that you see on men's magazines, or maybe the provocative, revealing dress that comes on the red carpet to, parade around like, oh, this is all so great. Those are the kinds of things that people like to see today, right? That's what's admirable. That's what gains attention. Or all the accolades and accomplishments and achievements and awards that the person has. Look at me, see all the things I have done, right? The degrees that they have, or the letters after their name, all the awards that they have acquired since who knows when. A legacy that has a lasting impression and impact. Oh yeah, let's talk about that. That's a person to welcome and honor and never forget, right? But Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Nope. So it should come as no surprise then, when the world has this attitude of what is important and admirable, anyone outside these walls isn't going to get it. Isn't going to accept it. Isn't going to be impressed with the one who you claim in all your Jesus talk as the one that I'm supposed to trust in. They just aren't going to share the same kind of enthusiasm, interest, and attention or attachment to a cross. And especially that whole thing about preaching, believing some kind of a message about Jesus, You know, all that stuff that you do there in church, that's just not for me. And so they turn away, not interested. The only logical approach and attitude of the world is, never mind, I don't want that. So when somebody comes up with this statement, I don't know why more people don't come to church and want to listen to Jesus, we got an answer. It's automatic. It's naturally natural for them not to want to listen. That's the way of the unbelieving, lost world in which we live. As Isaiah remarks, the heart of this people is calloused, their ears are dull, and they close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn to be healed. Or Jesus also says, for this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, second time he writes, he says, our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. They just don't understand because of the sinful nature in each and every one of us. We naturally are not interested in this kind of a message either, because our sinful nature wants to do it ourselves, just like the rest of the sinful world in which we live. So it is a miracle. It is a surprise, a wonder, a reason for rejoicing when somebody does come to faith by the working of the Holy Spirit. Because it is all by grace that anyone knows this God-given wisdom and is sure of it. The Apostle Paul says, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So if I can't do it myself, then the only other possibility is it has to come from outside of me. But again, by nature, None of us wants to hear that. Because we're all dead in sin. We're enemies of God. And everything he says is all so much foolishness. No one is capable on their own to accept anything that has to do with the one true God. It's super critical for us to understand that and acknowledge that that is the case. Otherwise, we're not going to understand why people don't want to hear about Jesus. But the Apostle Paul says a little later on in this particular letter of 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. A person can't even say that simple confession of faith except the Holy Spirit has worked that truth in their hearts. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Why? Because as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, Paul tells the Ephesians. Nowhere, no how, no one. Only by the grace of God, his undeserved love and favor and kindness at work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, is anyone saved, anyone comes to believe in Jesus, anyone loves the one who was crucified. That's a mighty, amazing miracle of our good, gracious, compassionate, beyond words, kind and merciful Savior God, whom we know and believe in, who has revealed himself through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's why the Apostle Paul makes such a point of this, that to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So it's not to our credit at all that we believe in Jesus as our dear Savior. It's not to our boasting and bragging or somehow our works or deeds at all, as again Paul says in that letter to the Ephesians. It is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so since it is all God's doing, and to God's glory, it does not depend on my feelings, my works, my attitude, my endeavors, my efforts in any way whatsoever, but purely by what Christ has done for me by going all the way to that cross and dying in my place. And that's a good thing, because if it depended on my fickle, feeble foibles and foolishness, it would fail utterly and forever. But because it depends on God, as the psalmist says, He is my rock and my refuge, my fortress and my salvation. Good thing, too, because that rock does not move. Jesus is my Savior. That's reason for celebrating. That's reason for joy. That's reason for confidence. Not arrogance, not defiance, but certainly fearless, not shoving it down your throat, but also not timid and tepid either. Instead, go ahead. Boast and brag about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's the one who gave Himself for me and rose again in victory. May that be our theme. Always, amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll respond then with the Apostles' Creed. You find it on page 41 in the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.